It is a sunny morning in Barcelona. There is not a cloud in the sky. There is not a hangover evident at all. Honestly, Gov, no, not us. We wouldn't do such a thing. Anyway, Ewan Spence here for the All About Symbian podcast. Joining me in the delightful bar area with a soft drink and some fruit juice is Mikko Rantanen from Nokia.
Hi.
Mikko, tell us what you do at Nokia.
I'm in the technology marketing, in the S60 marketing team. I've been there doing kind of product marketing lately, but now changed to a team called Customer Spearhead Projects, where we actually take some of the new technologies and want to make sure that there are real usage of that technology within the industry, and make sure that, the kind of the first showcase projects around new things do really happen.
So would we have seen any evidence of that in existing products?
Well, this is something which is totally new. The team, we are setting it up, so no real showcases yet to be talked about, but some really nice things cooking up.
And which one of those are you not allowed to tell us about?
Unfortunately, all of them.
But I mean, we do have Nokia here at the I60 Summit. It's very much a conversational conference. It's not huge screens of press releases and hardware coming out, and it's just this nice conversation, really, isn't it?
The whole idea is to kind of have the community feeling that we are all in the same boat, basically. So yeah, it's us, S60 team, then there's Nokia, there's the other licensees, there's all the developers, there's operators, everybody together in the same boat, and we want to get that feeling into that. So the idea is really to get the discussion and interaction, get the networking going on properly.
I mean, certainly, Nokia seemed to have done a step back. I mean, the main press release was new hardware and the developers forum coming from Samsung.
Exactly, and that's actually what we are really proud of. Coming from the S60 part of Nokia, I mean, of course, certain parts of Nokia feel that Samsung is a competition. For me, Samsung is a very, very good customer of mine, and we are really pleased that they are coming out with new hardware, new devices in a very, let's say, faster speed than what has used to be the case earlier.
I mean, now, is that because of the size of Samsung or the maturity of Series 60 or some combination in the middle?
Well, I think it's a combination definitely of several kinds of things. What I see happening is that Samsung is very much committed into S60. They are investing, putting these developer forums, everything together, and really putting a lot of effort to actually make S60 succeed also in their portfolio. I mean, obviously, they also have other platforms that they work with. They have their own internal platforms, just like Nokia has also other platforms than S60. So I think that we see a clear step in the amount of commitment that Samsung has done into S60, and that results now in new devices in the developer forums and so on.
I mean, we always hear Nokia talking about the openness of S60, and it's been reiterated here. Does that openness go through partners like Samsung and LG as well? Do they have that same commitment to openness, or are do they leave that to S60 and they just kind of, well, we'll hang it at the back then and leave them to do all that marketing and openness and things and stuff?
I would say they are clearly committed to openness, and this new developer forum initiative is clearly a proof point of that one. So yes, everybody's committed on making sure that S60 is open.
Yeah, and the other thing to stress, of course, stressed here, is that open doesn't necessarily mean open source.
Exactly. I mean, open source is a way of building innovation internally. That's one thing that can be done, and we do in certain areas, like in our web browser, we use open source communities, and we participate on those. But openness is really about opening up your capabilities to others to use, whether they are built in-house or by using open source components. It doesn't really affect on that side. So we really view that openness is about making sure that everybody can innovate and build things on top of S60.
And the web browser is becoming much more of a component part. I was noting yesterday that everybody's going on about fragmentation, we need to find a common platform. Yeah, every single one of these handsets ships with a web browser. And it seems to be that you've decided that, oh, there's our common platform, we're going to use the web browser now. And there's been a lot of development in that area that's not necessarily going on show here for the first time, but it's certainly becoming more visible in terms of WebKit, runtimes, and so on.
Yeah, indeed. I think lots of the innovation is really happening in the internet anyhow, based on browsers, whatever platform they actually work on the browsers. But it means that the browsers have to be able to support all the latest standards, all the latest things happening in the web, and that's really where we are focusing very much. So yeah, taking WebKit as the engine, but then enhancing that with new things like Flashlight and so on to make sure that we can actually support the innovation and things happening in the internet. So browser is a key component in this enabling of the innovation and openness. And that's also not only the browser, but making browser as runtime, what we call the web runtime, and enabling widgets using the web technologies, which is a thing happening on the PC world. And now we are also the first mobile platform bringing that into the mobile devices. And what we do even further than that is actually bring the additional value of mobility, your context, your location, your information in your calendar and phone book, integrate that into the services to get it more personal, more relevant to you.
Web 2.0 is always labeled as a sort of two-way communication. Web 1 is you read a website, Web 2 is you interact with the website. Does that mean that, traditionally mobile phones have always been great at pulling down information and getting information back into the phone, either through a T9 keyboard or back out to the net, has always been traditionally the bigger challenge? Does that mean that it's much easier now for these web runtime applications and the widgets to access features in the phone? For example, I mean, the obvious one here is the address book and GPS. It's not something that on your PC you'd expect Firefox to do.
That's exactly the point, that because mobility can add value. It's not only about getting the same services that you can do on your Firefox on your PC. It's about getting new things enabled by the fact that you carry your device with you. And that device happens to be the GPS device at the same time. It happens to have the camera as well. So putting all that, because the ways how you create information, the easier it gets is actually through the fact that your device does things for you. You don't need to type everything. It's not only about how do you actually kind of type in text, because the device can automatically also gather information from you. And I think location is a great example of where it really adds value to many of the services. Almost any service can kind of gain value from the location and bring, based on the location, more relevant information, or actually record your location into the service, and that's new information. It's about your presence, about your context, that can be used as part of the service experience.
And there's also, of course, that the web browser is slightly higher up the chain than, say, C++ or your Java.
Exactly.
Java as well. And of course, much as we're all about it, I mean, we have to remember that you have devices such as Series 40 as well. They don't have that native C++, but they do have the web browser. I mean, is this a conscious effort to try and lift the developers out of the really low-level stuff and put them up to a level where they can address every single Nokia device?
Well, I would say the conscious effort is to make sure that we can address different kinds of needs. So, no, we are not going away from C++ in any ways. I think being able to build native applications is a key component of an open operating system, of an open platform. And that's something where we are addressing very much the needs of developers in that aspect as well, in terms of the OpenC, OpenC++, to make it easier to use existing skills and existing code also on that frame. But then there's millions and millions of developers who don't want to go. They don't have the need to actually go into the C++ programming, into the native side. And that's where they need easier ways to create applications and services. And that's where web runtime really has a crucial role. I mean, my teenager son is able to build a web runtime application. He's not a programmer, so he's not able to do a C++ application. But as said, there are different needs and different kinds of runtimes, different kinds of environments that we support for that purpose.
You know, and with those environments, Nokia's built up the things like the download application forum, Nokia, and it's built a huge back end to help those developers who traditionally have been at low level. Is that going to be available to the guys working in web runtime as well? I mean, is there going to be a grades of forum Nokia, or are they still going to get access to things like the download application? Are they still featured in there, and the extra support from forum Nokia that's available?
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's multiple ways to actually get content onto S60 devices. There's download applications, there's operator portals, and basically they are all independent of the technology itself, what you're using. I mean, the user doesn't need to worry, is that particular application done using C++, Java, Flashlight, or web runtime? It's not something that the user should be worried about. And the mechanism of getting the content, downloading the application to the devices, that's independent of the actual technology used for implementing the device. The same holds true also for the actual business model. So what's the, is it chargeable content, or is it the service that's kind of a subscription-based service, or is it free of charge, and some other business models, advertising business models used? Again, that's independent of the technology itself that you use for implementing that application.
I mean, is that something Nokia keeps an eye on as well? Because obviously, you know, the best way to foster a developer is to be able to drive a dump truck of money up to their house every month. Is that something that Nokia are going to get more involved in later on, or are they going to? Is that something that you leave to the S60 partners and you just kind of just steer them the right way?
Well, from the S60 perspective, we are a technology provider in this context, so we don't really see that we should be playing any role there. But of course, Nokia has, in the new organization, set up their software and services unit, which is of course looking into things, how to monetize certain services and so on. But that's outside of the scope of the S60 team within Nokia.
Mm-hmm. And out of all what you've seen in the widget development and the runtime development, what's been the most surprising thing that you've seen come across your handset screen that you can talk about?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think going through the expo area here with 60 and more demonstrations on that. So I think all of those are really quite amazing things once you take a look at those. I was yesterday looking into, for example, this demonstration by the Helsinki University of Art, where they have something called Mobitos, which I think was quite cool. It's a gesture-based way basically sending an image that you take, a photo or a video with your device, sending it over to the PC to the large screen over the projector by actually throwing it with your phone over there. So it's really, there's so much innovation happening in different areas. I think this actually what they use in that is the sensor technology, the accelerometer built in many of the devices currently. That opens up so many ways to interact with the device that there's just, it's impossible for me to pick up just one thing.
I mean, you have all this technology coming up, but it's going to take years for it to come down the line. I mean, you still, we touched very briefly there in Series 40 and the amount of Series 40 devices that are still being sold that are, you know, comparable to things like the Nokia 7650, you know, back then. Your Series 40 is at that level now. Do you see all these technologies bubbling down, or will they reach a certain point in the mid-tier and just go, right, they go no further?
Well, depending on the technology always. I mean, we have to look at that there are certain new things happening on the high-end devices only, maybe coming down to mid-tier devices, but then definitely there's a kind of a lower-end market, and we don't expect to see everything happening there. So from the S60 perspective, we see that mid-range devices is something where we see S60 happening, but then definitely the view within Nokia is to make sure that the kind of the developer technologies, for example, flashlight and so on, are available in a broad range of different devices. So not necessarily only for S60. So we see already Series 40 devices with flashlight. Of course, this web runtime is also a thing that we see, at least within S60. We have this MIMO platform for Linux tablets and so on. So having similar kinds of functionalities across different platforms is very important. So actually this cross-platform development capability and support for that is one of the key drivers in our strategic thinking for the runtime environment specifically.
And you've got cross-platform as well in Ovi, which is basically what takes care of Nokia's press announcements for the next 2 years. We've got this stage now and this stage now and this stage now. But one of the things I did note in the expo was a Nokia Share is getting embedded now in S40 as well as S60, blurring the lines even a little bit more.
Actually, I'm not familiar with the Share and Ovi plans on Series 40 because I'm... Within Nokia, we have to be very specific. S60 is if you work in that area, you have to work in that area because, I mean, you work with other than Nokia device vendors as well. So,
I mean, does that cause interesting debates when you talk about this cross-platform and trying to get everything running on everything, when you've got these little silos of departments that have been moved around and you say, I don't know what they're doing around here?
Well, it's actually the thing is that the platform is the common level, and then there's lots of innovation happening on top of that within Nokia as well. And of course, for each of those, like Ovi services, for each service, they have their own plans on what is the range of devices. And in many cases, here, Series 40 is something that they also want to support. It might be that you don't have exactly the same experience, not exactly the same functionality that you get into S60 because of a richer capabilities in the devices. But yeah, in many cases, it is the strategic thinking that you would like to have things happening on several platforms. And our role and where we work very much together with the other platform units is definitely to make sure that the enablers for doing that are there. But we don't actually implement that and make the strategies for the services themselves. But that's and a good example of that is that we have announced that we are planning to acquire this Trolltech company, the Norwegian software company, who is actually making very much specific technology, or that kind of makes the runtimes more compatible across different kinds of operating environments. So that's a clear kind of a direction where we want to be supporting on the different platforms.
But you still need quite a lot of integration to PC. Lifebolt moving into Ovi is one of them, but also the PC suite, the music players. The PC, the Mac, and the Linux desktops are still a very strong part of a whole personal ecosystem that goes along with the ecosystem of mobility that Nokia is driving as well.
Yeah, indeed. I mean,
and this is where Trolltech can come in useful as well.
Exactly. I mean, there's the mobile device, there's the PC, and there's the internet cloud, and all of those three parts of the triangle have to be taken care of to get a real user experience for your service. So you have to think of all of those. So indeed, companies like Trolltech are very crucial in making it possible for us to build these kinds of services in a cost-effective way.
And let's go back to this personal thing again. Not that we're going to get you into any trouble at all here. But if you weren't at Nokia, what do you think you would be doing yourself?
Well, I've been working for Nokia for so long time, even though I have been then also first time I worked for Nokia, I worked in Nokia PC business, actually, back in the late 80s.
You see, now you tell me.
And then that part was sold over to ICL, to the UK company, so I followed that route. Then I rejoined Nokia in 99, then I left it for a couple of years to a smaller startup company. I rejoined Nokia again, so I kind of see that, okay, I might be doing something else, but someday, sooner or later, I'll be back at Nokia again.
And what do you think? What do you think the biggest change we're going to have coming up in the future? I mean, outside of Nokia, and you know, with all this computing power that we're getting, with all this mobility that we're getting, you know, throw yourself forward 5 or 10 years. What do you think is going to would make us go, wow? little prediction. What do you think is going to be the game changer in 10 years' time?
Oh wow, tough ones. 10 years from now. Oh, I have really difficulties in answering this one, because I've been working on the S60 side now for since 2002, so it's about 5 years, a little bit more than 5 years. And I think that change already has been so radical, bearing in mind the first 7650 device, and now what you have in your hands, and the power, the functionality in terms of the kind of the multimedia capabilities, in getting the location awareness really into the devices. I think that we have seen such big change already, and there's nothing stopping that. I think we see all of that happening also from here on, but what are the particular things, new things coming in? I mean, there's lots of things on the user experience side and so on happening, but one thing to put that on top of the others, I have difficulties in finding what that would be, the one thing.
So what are you most looking forward to in the next build of Series 60 then?
Well, in the next set of Series 60 devices, I think, I think it is about still continuing very much with what we have as our strengths still. So just making things more simpler, more intuitive, making sure that people actually can use the functionalities that we have, because we have more functions than people actually use on the devices. So it's actually about building more simplicity and better user experience.
Mikko, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thanks.